Happy Father's Day, everyone. We are so glad my wife Rachel and I, our five kids, to be back in Columbus after a couple weeks of vacation. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. And here in a minute, I'm going to tell you just a fun story on myself, and hopefully it will be encouraging to you. But before we do, I just want to give you another quick announcement of our exciting July 4th camp out that's coming to the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Normally we do it at Heartland, and that can't happen this year, so we're going to be doing it at Pastor Dennis and Susie Griffin's Pond, 4 days, having a good time. We'll be here for church on Sunday morning, and we want to invite everyone to come and join us for this camp out. Once again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of July 4th weekend, for kids, for adults, we're just going to have a wonderful time. I think we have already maybe 50 or so that are planning to be there, and you are invited to be there. We're going to make it really easy, $25 a person, includes all your food, all of that stuff. You just have to bring a tent or find a place to sleep. You can open air sleep if you want. The mosquitoes are real good this time of year, I hear. They'll enjoy you. But we're going to have a good time. We'd love to have you come. And then on July 4th, on Saturday, everybody that doesn't want to camp, you are invited to come and to join us as well. Just for a day, lunch and dinner will be served, $10 a person. We're going to be swimming and hanging out all day long, as early as you want to show up and as late as you want to stay-ish, until Lou kicks you out. Maybe he'll take care of that. But we'd love to have you come, $10 for the Saturday or $25 for the whole weekend, and it's just going to be a great time. We'll do services Friday night and Saturday night, have some discussion and just around the campfire sort of moments with God, and would love to have you come and be a part with us. Well, I mentioned this week and last week, we were, my family, on vacation, and earlier I had my kids come up here. They're just amazing young people. Love the fact that I get to be a father. What a huge blessing that is. And this last week, we were in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and we were in a cool resort place with pool and all the fun stuff. And so what kid doesn't love to get into a hot tub at a resort, right? I mean, it's just fun. This specific hot tub wasn't just any hot tub. It was huge. One of the bigger hot tubs I've ever been in, and it had a waterfall, this huge thing that dumped water into the thing, into the hot tub. It was really, really great. So our kids, we are in the hot tub. They're in the hot tub. And this wonderful man came over and put the kibosh on our wonderful time. No kids in the hot tub. So we're like, oh, okay, I guess we'll make it. That's just is what it is. So we decide, okay, that's fine. The water, by the way, is freezing. Not the hot tub water, but the other water. I'm guessing it was 70 degrees. Maybe it was freezing. And so they would only swim for a few minutes. So later they would come and they would just sit around the hot tub, like hoping that the heat would come up. And this guy comes back with my kids sitting around the hot tub and starts basically, to me, just being belligerent. It was unacceptable. I did not appreciate how he treated us. Tell him, get out, get away. I'm like, they're not in it. They can't get out of it. Well, they have to be away from the area. And I'm like, oh, man. So I'm just going to be real with you. My blood began to boil just a little. Anybody have their blood boil every once in a while? I need somebody else with me. Thank you. There's some honest people. Yes, my blood was boiling. And I was really kind. I just was trying to talk to the guy. And he would not have any sort of conversation. It was the end. Me and my family. He finally says, if they're not away from the hot tub, I'm going to drain the hot tub. I'm like, no, you're not. There's no way you're going to drain this hot tub. So, I mean, I may have at that point asked, this may not be very Christian-like, I'm not sure, but I may have said, so you're saying if my kids, or they can stay in, you'll just drain it. He didn't appreciate that whatsoever. I'm going to be honest, as your pastor, I got way mad. And so he drives away. I made my kids get away from the area, whatever that meant. And so I grab my towel and I grab my shirt. And while drying myself off, I'm walking to like the administrative building because I was like, this cannot happen. So I'm walking on my way, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm not sure what I'm going to say here. I'm super mad, but I'm going to try to pull myself together. And so I go to the door. I open the door. I walk in, like, boiling. Just remember boiling. And there's nobody there. And then I see a lady. She comes out, and she's like, can I help you? And I'm like, yes, the guy who runs the pool, who's his boss? Because I really would like to talk to them. And she's like, he is the boss. That's not the answer I was looking for. And so I'm like, so you're telling me there's nobody that's his boss? Like nobody, like, well, there's another couple and him, they kind of run the place together. And so really, no, he's the boss. I'm like, nobody? I can't talk to anybody? She's like, why, what happened? So I just explain the situation and she's like, well, he can be like that every once in a while. And you know, through this process, I knew that she knew I was really upset when she says, can I get you a bottle of water? And I'm like, no, that's okay. That's okay. Thank you so much. So I left and I was trying to think, Lord, did I completely lose my witness in this situation? Or did I do well? Like, was this a good response, a bad response? Should I have been so angry? Probably not. Probably not. But did I do anything else? And I began to think about the process. And I really began to think about maybe past moments in my life when it may not have been quite as, I would say, chill as I was there. I think my wife could agree. Earlier, I confirmed with my dad, and he definitely agreed that I could maybe go overboard. And in fact, after our first service, I was talking to AJ McLean, and he's like, I saw you really mad once. He threw a metal can, at my head that was like split open. So there's like sharp, hit me right in the head. I did not appreciate it. I like my face. I like it looking how it is. I didn't want to be cut. So he'll appreciate it. I'll have to tell him I got that story in there. I lost my mind on him. And in fact, Jim McLean, oh, he's back there. He's here for second service too. But Jim McLean, his dad later is like, are you okay? Was everything all right? And I just realized probably not the response that I should have then before. And this was better, but Lord, did I do it okay? Was that bad? You know, just trying to work out with the Lord whether it was a good situation. So in the process of this, the next night we have a pool party for like the whole resort that is there, and we're all there, and there's free food and all that good stuff. And the lady comes that I talked to, and so we talked to her probably for 20 minutes. We got to sit and just talk, and really nice lady. And so finally, I just had the thought, I should probably apologize just in case I was over the top with her. So I say, hey, I'm sorry if I came across too strong yesterday. And she's like, you were the nicest angry person I've ever witnessed in my life. And so I was like, that's a good thing, right? I guess, I'm not sure. I was the nicest angry person. But it kind of made me think about Father's Day and thinking about maybe men in the room. It's been known, not that women can't be angry, but that men at times can lose their temper. Any men, you'd say that's me, I've lost my temper? Wow, we've got a lot of liars in the room, a lot of liars. Women that you know, the men, could you raise your hand for them if they've been angry? Anybody? Oh, yeah, there's more. Yeah, more hands. Okay, perfect. But there's these moments in our life where we might go just a little bit overboard from where we should be, and we might have to say, Lord, help me out. Lord, do something in my life. And this morning, we're going to start a new sermon series out of the Psalms and the Psalms of Ascent. And these psalms are special psalms to me because they're moments when the people of Israel would be heading back towards Jerusalem, towards the temple, towards worship, and towards just singing praise to God. In fact, it could be, and many times, if they were in captivity, it could be a song that they would sing as they were coming back from captivity. In other words, back to their homeland, back to be able to worship God more often, obviously, just to go back to Jerusalem and to worship. And they would sing these songs, sing praises, sing of the goodness of God, sing of who he is. In the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of these ascents. And we're going to look at some of these songs and see how they would speak to us. But this first Sunday in Psalm 128, it's all about the fear of the Lord. And I begin to realize that in my life, there are things that as I fear the Lord, and today I'm not talking about being scared of the Lord, like hiding from the Lord, but I would say more like how I feared my dad when I was growing up. I wasn't scared of my dad, but I respected him. I honored him. And I would say, afraid of disappointing my dad. I'd never wanted to disappoint my dad. I wanted him to be pleased and honored. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about with God, that we want to honor and respect God. We want to fear him. And if we need to literally be afraid to not sin, I would prefer personally to be afraid to not sin. I want to honor and respect God, which is going to help me do what is right and step out of what is wrong. It's going to help me want him to be pleased with me, pleased with who I am on a daily basis, everything I do, whether it's at a pool with the pool guy, or whether it's my family or with my kids or with my wife or anywhere I am, that I can say, Lord, I submit to you and I honor you. Psalm 128, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And this morning, as I begin to read this and to think about this and see, and this last week, and actually this sermon, I had it all written before I went on vacation for the last 3 weeks, been praying and just asking the Lord, what is it that you'd want us to get out of this today? The men in the house, the families in the house, the children, every person that's here today. And I believe that God showed a few things and wants to reveal them to us today. The first, right from verse 1, is blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. There is a waiting blessing for you and for me, for every one of us. It's waiting on those who fear the Lord. It's waiting on those who submit themselves to God. It's waiting on us to say, Lord, your will is better than my will. Your way is better than my way. Your path is better than my path. Lord, what the emotions that I should have, I want them to come from you, not from what is natural to me. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, that's just the way that I am? The fear of the Lord goes against that. When we submit to him, it's not just how I am, because Lord, I want to submit to you. I want to come underneath you. And there's a blessing that is waiting for you. There's this blessing that's sitting there for all who honor and respect God. It's there for you. It's a fundamental thing that we must have if we want to grow in our love for God. Is, Lord, I submit to you. I lay it all down before you. I come, and Lord, I don't want to do anything to mess up this relationship. Thankfully, his grace is so good, is so great, but when I mess up, I have to deal with the issue or the problem of my situation. And Lord, I don't want that to be a pattern of my life. But I want, even when I'm upset, someone to say, you're the nicest mad person I've ever witnessed. That's a step in the right direction. Now, Lord, help me not to get mad with the pool guy. Because you know, later on in the week, talking to that lady, found out that this guy, he has I think it was 34-year-old young man who was supposed to die at birth and has special needs. And that week, they thought they might lose him. They thought that he might go to be with Jesus. Which, guess what? That would be a pretty difficult week. And you know, as I look back on it, I actually told my daughter Avery, I was like, probably he's having a rough week, because there was just no reason to explain why he acted how he acted. But that means we have to be able to come and show love, not knowing the details of why someone has a week, but to say, Lord, I want to fear you. I want to submit to you. I want to honor you in such a way that it doesn't matter what anybody does, what anybody says, how anybody comes against me. I can show love and I can show peace. The blessing that he's giving me, I can pour on others even when it doesn't make sense, maybe to the people around me. I believe that when your heart is joined to God's, your feet will follow hard after him. And today, I believe that's the metric. If you want to say, well, I think I fear the Lord, I feel that I've submitted to him and I'm honoring him, then you can just look at your life this last few days or this last few weeks and say, am I trusting him with my finances, with my job, with who I am? Am I letting anger be a part of my life? Am I letting maybe my kids drive me insane? Or am I letting God help me in that situation with my children or my work or whatever it might be today? Am I submitted to God, or am I doing it on my own? Because I believe when I submit to him, I'm gonna be able to step into victory in areas of my life that I did not before. My feet will follow hard after God if I am walked and joined to God's heart, if I've submitted to him. This blessing is simply waiting here. It's right before us, and we just have to grab it through the submission and laying it down before God. There's a waiting blessing, but it goes on in verse 2 and 3. And I believe it says there is a bountiful blessing. It says, you shall eat the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. And here, this bountiful blessing, we see the first thing is very important. You shall eat the fruit or the labor of your hands, right? All of us, we need to eat the fruit or of the labor of our hands. We need, when we put the work in, wherever you go to work, we need someone to pay us, and then we're gonna buy some stuff, right? Some food, some housing, some clothing, the different things. We need to put in the hard work so we can experience the blessing of the labor of our hands. But he doesn't go and just stop there, because then it talks about the fruitful vine within your house. And your wife will be like that. Your children will be like olive shoots. And this fruitful vine, the olive shoots, those were not necessities. Those did not have to happen. You could live, you could survive without them. But life's a whole lot better when you have some good, special things. You've got some extra things in your life. Anybody else enjoy, maybe at a meal, there's the normal things, but then when maybe dessert comes out, maybe that's your thing, and you say, yes, please. It's not needed. In fact, the only place we go and we get dessert is at BJ's. That place, if you've never been there, they have, what are they called, Pazookies? Pazookies. How many have had a Pazookie from BJ's? The rest of you need to go experience some of the bounty that I'm talking about, the goodness of God. It is so wonderful. But you don't need that to make the meal. But if you've had it, you want it every time you go, because it's great. It is simply great. And I believe God, he goes to say, not only will you have a home and things you need to survive, but goes on and says that you are gonna see good things from your wife. She'll be like a fruitful vine in your children. I think just to be real direct in this, when we're submitted to God, we are going to serve our wife differently than when we're not submitted to God. Right? I think that should be a natural thing. So if I submit to God, I submit to my wife differently. And gentlemen in the room, that means there's going to be more intimate moments in your life than if you don't submit to God and you aren't submitted to your spouse. So if you want your relationship to be what you would like to happen, gentlemen, that means you need to submit to God, fear God, and you're going to care for people around you, including your wife, and it's going to be better for you. The same with your children. If I lead and can, even out of a moment of maybe losing my cool just a little bit, hopefully turn that into a teaching moment and be able to teach my children, then guess what? They're going to be able to do better. They're going to live better. They're going to like family. In fact, this morning, Avery, she wrote a card and said, thank you for teaching that, basically the ways of life, or I don't remember the exact words. I was like, oh, that's the best thing you could possibly say. What a cool thing. But I believe when we submit to him, there's a blessing that comes. Not only am I cared for and provided for, my relationship with my wife is better, my relationship with my kids are better, my relationship with the people around me are better. There's a bountiful blessing. When your heart is joined to God, he goes beyond the necessities. He goes beyond the low-level things into good, into great things that only he can give. The fear of the Lord is where it all begins. It's the beginning of wisdom. We must respect and honor and put ourselves under God so we can experience him and what he has. Gentlemen, today, if you say, I don't know how to be a good dad, the way to do it is to come before the Lord, ask him to pour a blessing into your life because you submit and fear. And not, once again, of scared, but to say, Lord, I come before you. I don't want to disappoint you, because when I get out of the will of God, then I start messing up and I start making mistakes. And when I say, Lord Jesus, I give you all, everything, then all of a sudden, each area of my life begins to improve. There's a blessing that is waiting. There's a bountiful blessing, and there is a pronounced blessing. The worship team is going to come and join me out here, but this pronounced blessing in verse 4 and 5, it says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. This is a good thing, a good moment, the blessing of Jerusalem, the blessing of Zion. When we consider that much of the teaching ministry of Jesus took place in Jerusalem, that Jesus died a sacrifice and a substitute for our sins in Jerusalem, that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the heaven or to heaven from Jerusalem. When we consider that the gospel was first preached out of Jerusalem and the church was first birthed here, I think we are all blessed out of Jerusalem. Today we're blessed. In their day, can you imagine the blessing of Jerusalem, the blessing of what took place even before Jesus had come, the goodness of God that was poured out through and in Jerusalem? And this is an important element in this portion, because it's not only a blessing that is here for us. It's not even only a bountiful, better than just normal things, normal food and clothing sort of things. But it's something that is pronounced to you and goes from our home to Jerusalem, to Zion. It goes to the people around us, the community that we are in. When we fear the Lord and submit to the Lord, then we should make a difference at home, in our church, in our community, in Dublin, wherever you live, in our surrounding communities, in Columbus, and I would say to the ends of the earth. We should make a difference because God has moved in us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the submission to the things of God, is how we come out of darkness and come into the light. It's how we see major steps in us that we've struggled with for a long time. Is, Lord Jesus, I am not going to be the leader of my house anymore. I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to let you have control of my kids, over my relationships, over my job, over my situations. It's not me. It's not what I want. I'm going to even let you have control over the hot tub on vacation. God, I'm going to give that to you. Every part of who I am, I'm going to give to you. I lay it down at your feet and offer it to you. And then in verse 6, it ends with, I believe, a wonderful verse. In fact, how many of you are grandparents in the room today? I see a few. I know in the first service, there were some more. My dad was sitting right up here, and he actually had four of my kids somehow, with two seats on each side, leaned against him. And it says in verse 6, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And when we submit to God, something happens that all of a sudden we get to be a part of our children's life, who we birthed, but then we get to be a part of grandchildren's lives. We get to be a part, and I believe as a church family, of the kids of our community, we get to be a part of their lives. We get to be a part. I see Lynn right up here, that she gets to pour into kids in JBQ, in girls' ministry, so many that she represents, that we get to see children's children. We get to be a part of it. My mom, from the day that we got married, she's not in the room for this service, so I can say it, but it could almost be to the annoying level that she does not want to butt in to her kids' lives. Like she doesn't want to be the mom that kind of is always just badgering or always getting in there. So she like won't say anything. She's like, you know she wants to say something, but she doesn't want to do it. Every once in a while, if you know my mom, no worries, she'll get there and she'll say it. But she's like, I would rather have a good relationship with my kids and my grandkids than have any control in their house, in their home. And I believe for her that she knows that she has a whole lot of strong-willed kids. If you didn't know, strong-willed, my sister strong-willed, my older brother strong-willed. And she says, I'm submitting to God, I don't have to have control. And guess what? She has great relationships with her kids that she can pour into us, with her grandkids. And I believe it's a part of this that we see here, that she has direct access to great grandkids. She most likely, she has a few years left to go, but 10, 15 years, she's gonna have great grandkids, and she's gonna be able to pour in them. And my dad as well, of course, because they fear the Lord, because they want the best of the Lord to come through them, not their own things, not their own desires. They want what God has for them. And today, when I think of the people of Israel heading towards Jerusalem, heading towards the temple, singing this song, proclaiming this, they're saying, we love, we submit, we fear our God. We love our family. There's good things that come because we fear our God. We love our community. We love our city. We love our nation because, and there are good things because we fear the God, our God. And today, men and every person that is hearing in the room or at Facebook Live today, if you want to take a step with God, it starts with fearing the Lord, because that's the beginning of wisdom. laying down my own desires, my own expectations, my own wants, and saying, God, you have the first place in my life. You have it all. And Lord, even if it goes against what I would want or what I would think, you take control. Right now in our world, in the situations that we see ourselves in, I believe we are in a moment in time where the church must and needs to stand up for all people, that racism, the answer for racism is in the church. It's God, it's his spirit moving through us. But it is not gonna happen. There will be no change unless you and I say, Lord, I submit to you more than what even I was taught or what I think or what is natural in my heart. But Lord, I give all to you. And we start having conversations and we start understanding one another more. We can make such a massive difference, but it's not because of our great wisdom, but it's because we fear the Lord and we let him speak. Today, if you have small children in your home and it's just a little out of control, maybe that's how you feel half the time. We do too, so that's normal, not too bad. But maybe today you say, like us, Lord, we fear you, we reverence you, we come and we commit ourselves, we bow down before you. That is how you have successful kids. That's how Pastor Dave has 3 kids that love God and grandkids galore that love God, because he feared the Lord and submitted himself to the things of God. And it's never too late to stop and say, Lord, I've been in relationship with you, but maybe I haven't feared you or I haven't reverenced you quite like I should. There's never too late. Today would be a great time to start saying, Lord, I want to reverence you more. I want to fear you more. I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to come up short. So Lord, you come and you take control. You reign in my life. Today, on Father's Day, in Psalm 128, a song of ascent, there's a blessing that's for you and there's a blessing that's for me. And today, as we close this time, the first thing is, if you are not walking with Jesus, Jesus is amazing. He died on a cross for you, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the 3rd day, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God. And all he asks, all he wants, is for you and me to repent and to come before him. And when we do, he makes our life new. He makes our life whole. And today, if that's you, I would ask you, just in the quiet, maybe at your house or maybe in this room, just to ask the Lord, forgive me of my sins. I repent, I turn from what I was and what I have done, and I come to you. And if you do that, he welcomes you into his family. For all of us, including you today, I would ask us, how are we doing? Do we live our life? Are the actions of our life in a way that we say, I fear the Lord. I honor him, I respect him, I submit to him. Dads, today on Father's Day, are we living our lives in a way that just brings glory to God? Are we living our lives in a way that our kids can see the glory of God in us because we submitted to him, because we fear him and walk in him? And if not, the great thing about God is all we have to do is say, Lord, right now, I repent. Right now, I come back. Right now, I offer myself to you. And he wants to take us from where we are today to where he wants us be as we submit to him. He wants to bring about your children's children being a part of your life. He wants to bring about the good things, because I'm pretty sure every grandparent that I've ever talked to likes being a grandparent. And I would say almost all of them like being a grandparent more than being a parent, because they get to send them home. It's so much fun. They get to spoil them and then send them home. We have good grandparents, parents that love to do that. And I believe that's the kind of thing God wants to do in our life, is he wants to give us the bounty, give us the good, the blessed, the next level. But it starts with us coming and laying it all down before him today. So I'm gonna ask all over this room, at home, wherever you are, if you would just stand to your feet this morning. Maybe you need to come and find a place in an altar at your couch this morning. Maybe right at your seat. Maybe it's just turning your heart into an altar before the Lord. And this morning, I would encourage you, do you believe that anything is possible? Because anything is possible when we fear the Lord. There's a bounty, a bountiful blessing that is waiting on you. It's already been pronounced. All we have to do is submit to the goodness of God. He loves you. He cares for you. He has the best things for you. And today, as Radiant Life Church, I pray we give him every part of who we are. So as we turn to this altar time, I'm going to come back towards the end of the song and we're going to pray. But make right where you are an altar. Men, women, children, whatever age, wherever you're at, let's give God everything and offer Him the best of us. Because when your heart is joined to God, peace comes to your community, your family, and your country. And that's my prayer, is that peace would flow. Peace would flow because we fear our Lord. We reverence Him, and we have relationship with Him. So Lord, this morning we come before You, and we're thankful, God, for who You are. Lord, we're thankful that You move, and Lord, we're thankful that You don't want us to fear You in a way that's like scared of You. You're not asking us to be fearful, like hide from You, but Lord, to be fearful, to fear You in a way of honoring and respect, a way that I don't want to disappoint You, God, because that would be disappointing people around me. I don't want to disappoint You, God, because there's blessing that comes. Your life, there's a relationship that comes, that we get to walk hand in hand, an intimate way, God. And Lord, I pray specifically on Father's Day, Lord, that the men in this room would rise up to be the leaders that You have called them to be, not because of their great wisdom or their great strength, but because they lay all that down at Your feet, and that You guide, and that You direct, and that You lead them as they lead their homes, and as they just do what You've called them to do. Lord Jesus, we worship You. So right now, as we turn our mind to You in prayer, Lord, I pray that You would speak maybe a word to somebody today, Lord. Maybe they haven't heard from You in a long time, but as they submit to You, God, let them experience You and know You, Jesus. You're so good. Right now, church, let's just turn. Let's worship the Lord. Let's turn this place into a prayer time.